Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of The Perceptive Photographer. I'm your host, Daniel Gregory. Thanks for tuning in. I really do appreciate it. I hope you're having a great week. Hope you got a chance to get out and work the camera, maybe edit and print some photographs, spend some time with family and friends. As I was spending some time with friends recently, I was having a conversation with a good buddy of mine who was doing some home repair. And he was trying to fix a number of the things around his house, and he's a really handy guy. So he's really able to fix a lot of things that I think a lot of other people would potentially call a repair person for, or a plumber or an electrician. And one of the things I asked him was, how do you know what you can and can't fix? Like, there's certain things you probably can tackle because you know how to do them. There's other things you don't know how to do them. But how do you know in home repair, like, how do you know to tackle those things? Because there's certain things he would do that I wouldn't even think about doing just because I don't have any knowledge or experience. One of the things he talked about was how he had a methodology for determining what he knew and didn't know, and then how challenging the project was. He kind of rated it on a scale and determined whether or not he needed some additional level of expertise or not. He said he had an added layer because some things required things to be permitted and they required a certain type of person to get the permit. But for normal general repair, he said he basically had this system set up for how he knew what he could and couldn't do and what he needed to learn. And as I was standing here listening to him talk, it occurred to me that photography is a lot like that. The craft and editing of photography is a lot like that. And up here in the wintertime in the Pacific Northwest is a time where I do a lot of editing of my photographs. It's where I do a lot of the cleanup of my photographs. I spend time really trying to get the studio organized. And it's because we have such short days and the quality of light isn't so great because of the overcast gray days that you only get to shoot really good outdoor light potentially a few days a week at most. So this is a really good time to come in and get things cleaned up. And that got me thinking about workflow and technique, and how do we actually create a sustainable workflow and process for working on our photography? Because one of the things I realized is I got online and I started looking at the amount of information available to somebody who wanted to learn how to take photographs or edit photographs. If you start searching for those terms on Google or Bing or some search engine, it is literally millions and millions of results comes back. There are millions and hundreds of millions of hours of video up there. There's all this content. And in some ways, I think there's too much information against the time we have to really figure out what we want to do and how we want to do it with our photographs. And because of that, we have to figure out a system for narrowing things down to what's critical. And this is one of the creative traps I think people fall into when they start working on photography and they start getting involved in any one of their processes. And this happens in the analog darkroom too. I think people dive really deep into a specific type of analog process or a certain technique, and they can be consumed by the same problem. Ultimately, what we need to be able to do is create photographs that are meaningful and important to us. That's our goal. We want to take photographs that we find compelling, and hopefully through that interaction of finding them compelling to ourselves, we create images that are compelling to somebody else. That alone is a difficult challenge. That ability to tell story, to relate light, to relate gesture, to communicate color, black and white, whatever you're doing, to combine all of those different elements together into an image that somebody will hold and linger with is a challenge. And then you lay on top of it all the skills necessary to feel like we can actually accomplish that. That's also a challenge. So one of the things is I've been thinking about how to really get effective with my own workflow, how to get effective with any workflow, comes down to a couple of things. One of which, I already know a lot of things about my process. I already know a lot of techniques. I know a lot of concepts. Most of them are completely worthless. This was one of the first things I had to really challenge my own process with. Over the years, I've acquired an extensive knowledge library. I know how to do a lot of things in Photoshop. I know how to do a lot of things in Lightroom. I know a lot of different techniques, of which most are not germane or important to my actual photographic process. Realizing how much time I had spent to learn things that weren't important was frustrating at first. But at the same time, I've enjoyed that process. So on some level, that has fueled my own creative practice because it's a continual opportunity to learn and to grow through learning. But in terms of my actual photographic creative workflow, a lot of that stuff was unimportant. So I think one of the key things to do is to identify what is it that is working in your practice and what are things that are not working in your practice. That goes to a really simple question. When you start to edit and look at a photograph, you have to determine what is working in the photograph and what is not working in the photograph. For example, in my color teaching, and when I teach color theory and color concepts and color printing, one of the things we spend weeks emphasizing and working on is the removal of an unwanted color cast. That doesn't mean that we neutralize a photograph's color. It means that we take out the unwanted color that exists within the photograph, so we end up with the photograph we want. So we have to identify what's wrong. What's wrong would be the color cast. Other things that could be wrong could be it was just out of focus in the camera. If it's out of focus in the camera, there's probably not a lot you're going to do to work on correcting the focus in post-production, even though there's sharpening techniques you could apply, there's advances in technology. The right answer, the right solution would have been to get it right in camera. So whatever it is, when you look at that photograph and you start to think about what's not working in the photograph, and I don't like to use the word what's wrong. And the reason I don't like to use the word what's wrong is wrong implies that something incorrect happened. When it comes to editing, we should have already made the decision about the right and the wrong. It's wrong that I didn't get the bird in focus, or that I chopped half the person's head off when I was doing a wedding portrait. That might be what's wrong. The culling process should have dealt with what's wrong. So when I've got images that I'm interested in looking at how to edit and correct and print and potentially put in portfolio, I've now moved from what's wrong in the photograph to what's working or not working in the photograph. Once I can establish what's working or not working, I can start to make some decisions about how to go about emphasizing or de-emphasizing those various points. And this is where the second part of this conversation goes back to what I was thinking about when I was talking to my friend about home repair. A willingness to tackle a project that you have some awareness of how to handle. So if you've done some level of electrical repair before, this is similar to what you've done before. It's something you could easily tackle. Is different than, I've never framed a house, I'm going to go ahead and try to frame a house by myself. You lack that skill set. So as we're applying what we know to the photographic process, it becomes easy to say, oh, I've already done this, or I have done this something similar to this before. Sharpening, for example, or maybe it's a high frequency separation, or maybe it's a particular masking technique, or maybe it's a certain chemical development process you've tried before in the darkroom. So you've got some basis for how to deal with that. And whether or not that will enhance or de-enhance the issue you're trying to deal with in the photograph is based out of experience. The other piece comes down to there's something in the photograph that you want to correct. You feel like it could be emphasized or de-emphasized. You want to change it for some reason, and you don't actually have the experience. You don't have the expertise at this point to feel confident to do that. That's the time to go out and learn the specific skill that you're looking for to help you process and edit the photograph towards your vision. And that is different than, I'm just going to go learn a bunch of techniques in Photoshop. At the end of the day, it is likely that your most valuable asset is actually time. You're a busy person. You've got a lot going on. I've got a lot going on. I've got teaching. I've got family in town. I've got responsibilities around my house. I have responsibilities to my clients. So to be able to just sit down and say, oh, I'm going to spend 4 or 5 hours learning a technique of something that I'm never going to apply towards and something I'm never going to use. For example, at the holidays, there was a lot of videos I saw on blogs and content about how to create realistic looking fake snow in your photographs so that you had an opportunity to make it snowing for the holidays. If you're a photographer who already works in compositing, already works in creating that kind of effect, you would know how to simulate that or how to do that. And if you're a person who would never artificially put snow into a photograph, spending time to learn that technique may not be the best use of time. Now, if there's a part of that technique that you could figure out how to extrapolate out and apply towards something you might need, which is what my friend would do from an electrical or plumbing standpoint, in that case, learning that skill may be apropos to what you're trying to do, but you're not going to be confined to artificially creating snow. You're going to be confined to how to create a sense of light, movement, overlays, blend modes, whatever components you're going to be using in the photograph from a technique standpoint, and how to use those in your own images. I personally believe that when you get down to learning what you really need to know, there aren't very many techniques you need to create successful photographs. What happens to us sometimes is we get enamored with the number of techniques available And we end up being paralyzed by that. We aren't able to move forward when oftentimes to fix the photographs, the most simple techniques matter. Learning how to crop a photograph properly, learning how to color correct a photograph properly, learning how to create a few different types of masking so you can make your regional and local adjustments matters. But learning how to create and do certain things from an academic standpoint may be interesting, but they may not be the best use of your time to move forward. I know in my own experience, what I really try to do, like I said, is identify, particularly this time of year, because I am more involved in the dark room and not shooting as much, is to sit down and really figure out, what do I really know how to do well in my workflow? What are the things I always have to do in my workflow, but I'm not proficient at? And where are the photographs that I could not finish editing because I didn't know something? I didn't have the actual technique to finish those. It is surprising how few photographs actually end up in that last bucket. Usually what it is I haven't properly implemented the workflow I already know. I already know how to correct for color. I already know how to fix a shadow that has the wrong color cast in it. I already know how to do a lot of these different things. But because I'm oftentimes searching for those new techniques, I'm oftentimes searching for those different ways of behaving, I end up looking for a new and improved way of creating the work. That results in me spending exponential more time on the editing of the photograph, when the one thing I really don't have is exponential amounts of time. I want to be as efficient and quick as possible. And it is only when I run into a problem where I say, oh, I don't know how to edit this, I don't know how to create this, that becomes time to start to look for a new technique, a new concept, a new way of engineering the photograph so that I can actually create what I'm looking for. I would encourage you to sit down and have a really honest conversation with your photographs, your catalog, the amount of knowledge you actually have, and be not critical of yourself, but celebrate how much you already know. You already know so many ways of editing and how to create photographs. And figure out, what do you do well in your photography from an editing standpoint and from a cropping standpoint and from a correction standpoint? Maybe you really do have the skills necessary to edit those photos you're looking for. And what you just need to do is go back and apply what you already know in the correct order. And then take a look at those photographs that you think you don't know what's actually needed to be done to the photograph, and spend the time to figure out what's working and not working in the photograph. And you might be surprised that once you identify what's truly the issue that you're experiencing with the photograph, you might already have the skill set necessary to fix that. And if not, you know really specifically what you need to go look for from a training and teaching standpoint to try to fix that. That all being said, there's sometimes, maybe what it is you're just looking for a broad enhancement to your overall workflow, your overall concept of how to edit better, how to print better. And there's times where it does come, there is times where that's a huge value to go sit down and look cradle to grave at the entire experience and figure out how to do something better, to look at somebody else's technique from cradle to grave. And that's a part of the training process. That's a part of the learning process as well. But I think you get to that point when you realize that your own workflow, your own efficiency is so commingled into a mess that you need help unwinding that so that you can really produce what you want. And then sometimes we just need to have somebody help us get started. We have all these techniques, we have all these concepts, but we don't even know how to put them into a logical workflow. And sometimes we need help with that. But still, at that point, even if you're to that spot in your photographic practice, you still know and can identify what you're looking for. You still know what specific things you're looking for. In this case, it's just a workflow. So it's going to take longer to maybe train that and figure out how to put these tools into that. But you're not having to start from the ground floor. I hope you've got a few things to think about in terms of how to process and edit your photographs, what kind of techniques to learn, what kind of training to get, and that you find that you can get more time back by focusing in on what really matters to you in your photography and how to create amazing photographs and edit those photographs to your vision, and that you don't have to have every skill set. You don't have to spend thousands of hours in training. You just have to get really smart about the things you look for. Don't forget, you can always find us up on iTunes, Google Play, or any of the places podcasts are found. I hope you have a great week. I hope you're able to get out and really have a good time. I hope you get to do something creative and fun, even if it's just pick up some pencils and doodle on the sides of your notebook while you're bored in a meeting at work. Just find some way to give yourself a little creative outlet this week, and I will see you next time.